أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا ورآه العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا And when those who will misguide disown those who they have misguided. Imagine the time. The Mufassirin have said before the is, there is something which is, they call it mahzoor, something which is there in meaning but it is not there in words. And that is that Allah Ta'ala is saying, imagine the time. So a lot of times this mahzoor comes in, imagine the time. Because Allah Ta'ala starts with the words, when those people will disown those people. So imagine the time is mahzoof, is there, but it is not there. You know, it is there in meaning, but it is not there in word. So the translation will be like this. إِسْتَبَرَّ الَّذِينَ نَتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَوْا Imagine the time when those who will misguide will disown those who have those people whom they have misguided. Right, and that will be on the day of judgment. Wara'ul azab, and they will see the torment, they will see the punishment. Wataqatta'at bihimul asbab, and they will cut off all relations. So Allah Ta'ala says that on the day of judgment, those people who will follow a certain sect, who will follow a certain people who misguided them, on the day of judgment they will be like, okay, these people, they are our teachers and they will help us out. But on that day, these teachers will also disown. They will say that we have nothing to do with you, right? In the world they will be like teachers and yes, yes, this is the right thing, you should do exactly like this. But on the day of judgment they will disown. That I don't care about you, I don't care about anybody, I care about myself only, right? Why? Because they will see the punishment. Wara'ul azab. So they will see the punishment. And that is why there will be a conversation between them. Between those who will misguide the people and those who have been misguided. And they will say to them that you were the one who told us that we are on the right path. And today we find out that we are not on the right path. And they will say that I have nothing to do with you. So then, in the next ayah, they will make a dua. Those people who have been misguided, they will make this one dua. We will go to that ayah first, and then we'll come back. And that dua is, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا Those who have been misguided, those who are following, they will say, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا That we wish that we can go back one more time to the world. فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ Then we will disassociate ourselves from these who are misguiding us. كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا The way they are disassociating with us on this day. So this is going to be the dua that they will make on that day. Now we go back to the last ayah. That on the day of judgment, people who will be misguided in the world and those who are the misguiders, they will disown each other and they will see the punishment. So what will they see? And in the hadith, the condition of the hellfire, the condition of Jahannam has been mentioned. And what is that condition of the Jahannam? In hadith it comes in that Jahannam or the hellfire is going to be like a very big rebellious horse. The way the rebellious horse is, it's ready to kill other people, it's ready to hit other people, it's not ready to listen to anyone. That's how it is going to be. And there will be 9 ropes tied to that horse to control that horse. And in hadith it comes there will be 19 angels who will be holding those 9 ropes. And each of those 90 angels will be helped with another 70,000 angels each. And these many angels will be trying to hold this rebellious horse called the Jahannam. This is how it is going to be. And when that Jahannam is going to breathe, it is going to breathe fire. When it will breathe, fire is going to come out and it is going to go on the head of the people who will be in this punishment. And then Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that when this Jahannam is going to pass, it is going to break and destroy whatever comes in its way. So there's an ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, مَا تَزْرُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ آتَتْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا جَعَلْتَهُ كَرْرَمِينَ. So whatever is going to come in its way, it is going to become dust. It is going to be destroyed. This is how tormentful, punishing, and how scary this Jahannam is going to be. So when this scary vision will be in front of those people on the Day of Judgment, then they will disown each other. Everybody is going to be, okay, maybe hopefully I'll be able to save myself from this. So those people who were misguiding other people, they were giving them time and they were trying to gather them. In the Day of Judgment, they will totally disassociate. And then finally, what this Jahannam or this hellfire is going to do is that it is going to come right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is going to prostrate. It is going to do sajda in front of Allah. And in this sajda, it is going to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is going to say, all praise be to the one who created me as a punishment for the criminals. So Jahannam is a place for the criminals. And Jahannam is not a very small place. It's a very big place. It has a very big depth. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba and they heard a loud bang, a loud noise, all of them. Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, what was that? And the Prophet ﷺ said that 70 years ago there was a rock which was dropped in the hellfire. And it kept on going down and down for 70 years. But at this moment, that rock reached the bottom of that Jahannam, the hellfire. And this was the noise that came out of it that we heard today. So this is how deep this Jahannam is going to be. This is how big this Jahannam is going to be. So that rock will be dropped and will go on and on for 70 years. And then it will reach the end or the depth of the Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ said, and he was taken to the Mi'raj. And the angel showed the Prophet ﷺ a complete vision of the Jahannam. What is going to be in the Jahannam. So the angel Jibreel told, and this is a very famous hadith, and he said to the Prophet ﷺ that, O Prophet of Allah, this is Jahannam, and the lowest portion of this Jahannam, this is going to be, it is going to have seven levels. The lowest, the most fiery, the most punishing level will be the last one, and that level is going to be for the munafiqeen. Those people who will outwardly say that they are Muslims, but inwardly they will be completely non-Muslims. Outwardly they will act as if they are Muslims. Inwardly they are enemies of Islam. And in the ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala also mentions this part. Al-Munafiqeena fi dharkil asfali minan nar. That the Munafiqeen will be in the last least, in the lowest level of the Jahannam. And above them on the sixth level will be the Mushrik. The one who is going to worship Allah and also other things. So the mushrik is going to be on the sixth level. So there is a major shirk and then there is a minor shirk. Major shirk is to worship two gods, right? The way Hindus they do it, the Christians do it, they have three gods. The Hindus, they call everything a god. The tree is a god, the cow is a god, you know, beautiful woman is a god. So they have many gods, right? So these are polytheists and mushriks. So this is a major shirk. And then there is a minor shirk. The Prophet ﷺ says that my ummah, I don't fear them that they will do major shirk. I fear for them the minor shirk. So the Sahaba Ikram, they asked that, O Prophet of Allah, what is this minor shirk? The Prophet ﷺ said that they will do amal, they will do deeds, and then they would want that people praise them for their deeds. So their deeds will not be for Allah, their deeds will be for people, for getting praise of other people. So they will give in charity and they will want that people should praise them. And they will do good amal and they would want that people should praise them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is minor shirk. That you are doing your ibadat not to please Allah but to please other human beings. So the sixth level, the second last level of Jahannam is going to be for the mushrikeen. The fifth level is going to be for the Majusi. Majusi are the fire worshippers, those who worship the fire. The fourth level will be for the Sabi'een. Sabi'een in English is going to be Sabians. And Sabians were a group of idolaters at some point. The third level is going to be for the, in Hadith it comes, will be for the Christians. Those Christians who went against the teaching of Isa alayhi salam. Not those who followed Isa alayhi salam. So in the time of Isa alayhi salam was the Prophet of Allah. Those who followed him, those Christians will not be going in the hellfire because they followed the Prophet of their time. And the second level is going to be for the Yahud, for the Jewish people. And the first level, then the Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel that who is going to be on the topmost level, where the least punishment will be given. So the Jibreel stopped and he didn't answer. So the Prophet ﷺ asked again, Jibreel, tell me who is in the first level. And the angel Jibreel, he said, the first level is going to be for the people of your ummah who will be committing sins and their sins will not be forgiven by Allah. So they will come in this level of Jahannam and they will stay here, and when they will fulfill their punishment they will go back to Jannah if they are truly your followers. So these are the seven levels of Jahannam, of the hellfire. So it is a very deep place, it is a very fiery place, it is a very scary place. And that is why people, when they will see that place, the only problem or only thing that will go through their mind will be that somehow I can save myself from this thing. This will be the only fear, this will be the only purpose on that day of judgment for everyone. And then, the thing is that once you go in the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attitude towards that person will not remain the same the way it is in this world. It will be completely different. That is why the mashayikh have said, Jahannam ka maamla aur hai. Jahannam is a different place. All the things will be different and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attitude will be different. In this world, Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the most merciful of the merciful. In this world, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Udu'uni astajib lakum. You call on me and I will respond to your call. So every dua that we make, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala listens to it and accepts it. So in hadith it comes that the acceptance of dua is of three types. Either Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accepts it the way we made the dua, that, oh Allah, give me such and such a thing, please help me with such and such a thing, and the help comes. The second way of acceptance is that Allah Ta'ala does not help you, does not give you that exact same thing. But what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does is, because of the barakat of this dua, Allah Ta'ala removes a hardship or a difficulty. And the third way of accepting the dua is that Allah Ta'ala does not accept it the way it was and does not even remove the hardship, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives you the reward in the Akhirah. And in the hadith it comes, when the person is going to see his reward in the Akhirah, he is going to desire that, I wish all my du'as were not accepted in the world and they were made rewards for the Akhirah. This is how much the reward is going to be in the Akhirah. So all the du'as that we make are recorded by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala takes great care, and Allah Ta'ala likes the one who actually calls on Allah. So that is why Allah Ta'ala invites us in the Quran that you should call upon Allah. That is why in the hadith it comes, the one who calls on Allah, the one for whom the doors of du'as are open, the doors of Allah's mercy are also open for that person. So the one who has this habit of making du'a, in the hadith it comes that Allah's mercies, door of mercies are open now for him. So when you want to see that who is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should not see that how much wealth he has. We think that, okay, someone who has 3 or 4 cars in his house, maybe he has, and he is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we think that somebody who has a lot of wealth, maybe he is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the truth is, the one who is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a very beautiful trait, and that trait is that he has this habit of calling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has this habit of making dua in each and every circumstance. In hadith it comes that the one who asks Allah all the time and who asks Allah for each and everything, Allah ta'ala admits him into his group of friends. Allah Ta'ala admits him into his group of awliya. So that is why when you want to see who is in the mercy of Allah, who is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is going to be the one who makes dua the most. So in this world, you have this liberty. You call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to answer. And if you call upon Allah, a lot of times Allah Ta'ala admits you among his awliya. So he answers your call. On the day of judgment, in the hellfire, this is not going to be the case. In the hadith it comes that the Jahannami is going to keep on screaming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is going to scream for thousands of years. And he is going to scream for thousands of years until his voice will become like the voice of a dog. His screaming will change into barking, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still not answer his call. So the attitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Jahannam is going to be different. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to the Jahannam by Jibreel, and he was shown the Jahannam. He was also shown the Jannah in the Mi'raj. That is why we have a lot of accounts in the hadith of what is going to happen in Jannah and what is going to happen in Jahannam. And the Prophet ﷺ was with Jibreel, and he saw a terrible scene in Jahannam. And what was he? What did he see? He saw that there were people who had very large lips, and they had huge scissors, and they were cutting their own lips with their own scissors. And after cutting that, they were screaming loud, and it was such a painful scene. The Prophet ﷺ turned to Jibreel, who are these people? And Jibreel said, these are the people who used to deliver lectures and speeches in the masajid of your ummah. They would call other people to do good, and they themselves would not practice good. They will call other people to do good, and they will themselves not practice. The Prophet is not surprised. That is why in the hadith it comes that on the day of judgment, there will be some people who will be the teachers the deliverers of lectures and speeches. And they will be going towards the hellfire. And those that they taught, those they were teaching, though they did practice on what they heard, and they will be going towards the Jannah, the paradise. And those who will go towards the Jannah, they will be shocked to see that their teachers are going towards the hellfire. And they will call and they will say that, weren't you the one who taught me how to get into this beautiful place? And they will say that, yes, we were the ones who told you how to get into Jannah, but we ourselves did not practice, so now we are going towards the Jannah. So the first group that the Prophet ﷺ saw was the group of teachers, the khatibs, who would call other people to do good, but they themselves would not practice. Junayd Baghdadi rahimahullah was a very big shaykh of his time. He's called the Sultanul Awliya, the kings of the mashayikh. Among the mashayikh, he was the leader. And he died, and somebody saw him in his dreams. And he saw the shaykh, and he asked the shaykh, "Shaykh, what happened to you after you left this world? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you?" And the shaykh answered that whatever speeches I used to make, they were of no value. And whatever words that I used to write, they were of no value. And what saved me were the 2 or 4 rakahs that I would pray in the last part of the night. That 2 or 4 rakahs in the last part of the night saved me. So it is going to be the amal, it's going to be the deeds that is going to help you. Knowledge itself cannot help us on the day of judgment. Practice upon the knowledge is going to help us. In the hadith it comes, the Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nasu kulluhum halikun." Everybody is going to be destroyed. "Illa al-alimun." Except for the ones who have knowledge. "Wal-alimun kulluhum halikun illa al-amilun." Those who have knowledge, they will also be all destroyed and destructive, except for the ones who do amal on what they have learned, who practice on what they have learned. And then the Prophet said, "Wal-amiluna kulluhum halikun." Those who will do good deeds, they are also going to be destroyed. "Illa al-mukhlisun." Except for the ones who did their deeds only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ilm only will not help us. Amal on the ilm, and then the ikhlas or the sincerity of the intention is also very important. So the first group that the Prophet ﷺ saw was people cutting their own lips with scissors, trying to guide other people, but themselves would not practice. And then the Prophet ﷺ saw a second group. And what was that second group doing? Scratching their own chest with their long nails. And the blood would come out and they would scream and they would continue to scratch their chest. Prophet was surprised. "Oh Jibreel, who are these people? Scratching their own chest with these huge nails." And the angel Jibreel said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, these are those people who used to backbite. And you used to insult other people in front of other people. So they would insult other people behind their backs. They would backbite other people. So today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this punishment." And those who committed these sins, there was also another group that the Prophet ﷺ saw. And that group was that their faces were like swines. The faces were changed into the faces of pigs. and the bodies were changed into the bodies of donkeys. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked angels to pray, who are these people? And the angels replied, in fact, these are the people who used to lie and they used to backbite. Allah has changed their body into the bodies of swines and donkeys. That is why ghibat or backbiting is not a small sin. It's a very big sin. Right? We call it a lighter name. We don't call it backbiting, right? Like if you want to backbite, groups of people, they sit down and they backbite each other. They don't say that, okay, today we are backbiting. They say we're gossiping, right? We're talking. We're chilling. Sometimes they use this word, right? And this chilling is the worst thing that we can do to ourselves. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says that if I have to backbite, it becomes very important for me to backbite for some reason. Okay, I cannot live without backbiting. If I do have to backbite, then I will backbite my mother. So somebody asked, Sheikh, why would you backbite your own mother if you have to backbite? He said, because if you backbite, then on the day of judgment, the good deeds that you have done, you have to give all those good deeds to the person whom you have backbited and whom you have not asked forgiveness from. So all your good deeds are going to go to that person that you have backbited. So if I have to give all my good deeds to somebody, I should rather give it to my mother. So in this world, I will choose not to backbite anyone. If I do have to, then I will backbite my own mother. So this is how big a sin this is. And we do this day and night. Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ saw a third group of people. And the third group of people, what was happening to them was that their body was being, the skins on their body was taken off by the angels. And the angels would rip the skin out of the body. And this person screams like anything because of pain. And blood comes out. And the whole skin comes out. And then the skin comes back over his body, and the angel again takes the skin out of his body. And the Prophet ﷺ saw this scene, and the Prophet ﷺ was shocked. And in sorrow, he asked for angels, who are these people? And the Prophet ﷺ was told, these are those people who get out of their houses and they wear good clothes and they put good perfume and they do this all with the intention of committing zina. So this was not the punishment for the ones who have committed zina. This was for the one who had the intention of committing zina. Would go out of the house and would dress himself well, put on perfume in order to get a chance to commit zina. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, La taqrabu zina. Allah Ta'ala does not say that don't commit zina, but Allah Ta'ala says don't go near zina. And in hadith it comes that your eyes commit zina, and your ears commit zina, and your tongue commits zina. The Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is eyes committing zina, and ears and tongues committing zina? Prophet ﷺ said that when your eyes look at Namahiram, it is committing zina. And your tongue talks to the Namahiram unnecessarily, this tongue is committing zina. And when your ears, they listen to the sounds of the Namahiram, and there's no reason to listen to it. Sometimes you have important reason, right? Sometimes you have to talk to the Namahiram, right? There is a very big reason. For example, if you are, let's say, if you call to a company, right, and you want to buy something, and this person on the other side is a woman, now you have to talk to that woman, right? So there is a reason for this. But now you extend this talk to more than just that, right? And you start asking, oh, what do you do and how do you feel and what is your age? And when you go beyond what has to be talked, then this is ears committing zina and the lips committing and the tongue committing zina. So when the conversation reaches a point where it is not necessary to have this conversation, that all that conversation is zina. The Prophet said, your eyes commit zina, your ears commit zina, your tongue commits zina. The Prophet says that this is going to be the men who come out of their house trying to commit zina. And the Prophet also saw some women. And those women, they were hanging on the pipes of Jahannam. And how were they hanging? They were hanging with their breast tied onto the pipes. And they were screaming out of pain. And the Prophet asked, who are these women? And Jibreel said, these are the women who would come out of their houses with the intention of committing zina. They would dress themselves and they would pose and they would wear such clothing that they would attract other men towards them. And their intention was zina. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is going to be what their result is going to be when they go in Jahannam. Then the Prophet ﷺ saw another group, and I know we're running out of time. Another group that the Prophet ﷺ saw was that that man was the same size, the way you have this size in this world, but the stomach was so big as houses. Just imagine a man this big and the stomach just huge. Such an unproportional man with such a big stomach. And then there were snakes and other types of animals inside of the stomach, and they would bite in his intestine, and they would bite this man inside of him, and this man would scream and would be in a lot of pain. Prophet ﷺ asked, who are these people? And the Prophet ﷺ was being told that, O Prophet of Allah, these are those people who used to eat money earned from interest in the world. Those who used to consume interest in the world, this is going to be the result if they don't do tawbah from their sin. So the Prophet ﷺ saw this, and there is an ayah of the Quran, the meaning of which is that those who do not leave interest, then they should be ready for a war with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So eating interest is not a small sin. There is no other sin. After committing that sin, Allah has called that this sin is not only a sin, it is a war with Allah and His Messenger. No other sin has been given this label the way this consuming interest has been given this label. So these were some of the people. There were many other people, many other groups that the Prophet ﷺ saw in Jahannam. But this is how this Jahannam is going to be. Then this number 5, heaps of wood on the head. And these heaps of the wood on the head are those people who would have, they will be so small, the heaps are going to be very, very big heaps. And because of that heap, that man is going to go on the floor and he would be in a lot of pain. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, who are these people? And the Prophet was answered that, O Prophet of Allah, these are those people who used to take loans from other people and would not repay the loans, and would not have the intention of repaying as well. The Mashaykh have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in those thousands and thousands and thousands of years, unlimited amount of years, some of the dwellers of the hellfire will live in hell. Allah is only going to converse with them only 5 times. So there are 5 conversations between Allah and these dwellers of the hellfire. So one time, the dwellers of the hellfire will say, Rabbana amatna snatain wa ahyayna snatain fa'tarafna bizunubina. Oh Allah, we saw that we were given birth twice and we died twice. Why did they say that we were given birth twice, we died twice? Why? One was the birth, that was the birth when your mother gave you the birth. And then you died once. And then Allah Ta'ala gave us birth again from our graves. Right? So there were two births and two deaths. And the second death was before our birth. So these people will say that, oh Allah, we saw that we died twice, we were given birth twice, so we accept this and we accept our sin. And then they will say, فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجُ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. Is there a way that we can get out of this? And Allah Ta'ala says, Al-an, no, now it's too late. And then Allah Ta'ala says that these people, they will not be thrown into the hellfire. They will be insulted the way you are pushed, right, in this world. When somebody commits a crime, what does the police do? Sometimes they take you to the locker, sometimes they push you and they insult you. And everybody is looking. This is how this person will be driven into the hellfire. He will be insulted, he will be pushed. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that this man who commits the sin, Allah Ta'ala is going to push him into the Jahannam. Then again he will talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana absirna. Oh Allah, we have seen, wasami'na, and we have heard now. Faraji'na na'mal salihan. Send us back, we will do very good deeds. This will be the last words, second last words that they will say. And Allah Ta'ala is going to tell them, Fazuqu bima nasitu. Now taste, because you have forgotten in the world. You forgot us in the world, now you taste this. Finally, after thousands and thousands of years, and when they will just be too tired of all this punishment, they will finally make one request. And then say, they will say only these three words, Rabbana akhrijna minha. Oh Allah, just take us out of this place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His anger and His wrath is not going to decrease. In this world, there is no anger. You commit the biggest sin, and if you have this guilt in your heart, and you just say one word, oh Allah, I make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala forgives that sin. So the attitude is different in this world. And then after thousands of years of screaming and barking, and finally he is going to say, Rabbana akhrijna minha, Allah, take me out of this place. Allah Ta'ala is going to say, قَالَ اخْسَهُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَكَلِّمُ. Allah Ta'ala says, stay in this place, cursed. You stay here and you are cursed. وَلَا تَكَلِّمُونَ. And after that, Allah is not going to do any kalam with them, any talk with them. No more conversations. So, the more they will talk with Allah, the more Allah's anger is going to go up. So, this world is a different place. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamur rahimeen. You can commit the biggest sin and you ask for forgiveness and Allah is going to forgive. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, At-ta'ibu mina zambi kamallah zambalahu. The one who asks for forgiveness is like the one who has never committed any sin. And these words are again what they will say, the dwellers of hellfire in the Jahannam. This ayat number 167. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَوْا. Those who had followed the misguiders, they will say, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً. If we can go back one more time, فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ. Then we will not follow them. We will disown these people who misguided us. كَمَا تَبَرَّأُ مِنَّا. The way they have disowned us in this world. كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they will have hasrat in this world. They will see the amal, they will see hasrat in this world. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ. And they will not be taken out minan nar, from the hellfire.
so they will not be taken out from hell. So this is a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this world we have time, we can ask for forgiveness. In Jahannam, Allah's attitude is going to be completely different. This is a beautiful place to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala forgive the sins that we have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the sins. May Allah ta'ala make us among His pious servants. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.